It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We navigate year-end giving now when countless nonprofits get in their last burst of fundraising in the calendar year. But how do you know if your donation is well spent? Call in with questions about evaluating charities and nonprofits, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Michael Thatcher is president and CEO of Charity Navigator, which independently rates about 200,000 charities to determine their effectiveness. Michael, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Kate, I'm really happy to be here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So there are roughly 1.8 million nonprofit organizations in our country. That's the Urban Institute running those numbers. But what should people know about a nonprofit before giving them money?
I think the probably at the simplest level, you want to know it's a nonprofit, right? And you really want to just, if you're wanting to make a charitable gift to a charitable organization, know it's a legitimate 501c3 charity, and that you'll get the tax break on your donation. Simplest way to do that is just look them up on a service like Charity Navigator, or even on the IRS's website. There's a charity search that they have, and it lets you know that it's legitimate. That's the first step. The second step would be to find out, you know, the other thing I think is probably the most important thing. It's, are you aligned with how they're addressing the problem you're seeking to make a difference in? And so part of that is looking at, what is their mission? Are you aligned with it? Is it real? You know, and then do they have the means of doing it? So are they responsible in how they're spending their money? Are they accountable? Do they, you know, transparent in what they're doing? And then are they able to make it, tell you that they're making a difference? So the real sort of the articulated impact of the organization, not just the problem, right? Remember, a lot of times you get a really great description of a really dire situation.
Yes.
But you want to know that they're making a difference with that situation, not just that the problem's bad.
Which leads me to think about how our mailbox at home is just, you know, inundated this time of year with those end of year appeals and this, you know, those stories about what the problem is or what the problems a charity is addressing. So when I open up and read this literature, what should I look for in these solicitations?
I mean, what I would do is take the solicitation as an invitation to do a little bit of research. And so let's say one of the mailings you get really speaks to you, and like it triggers you, and you're like, I want to do something about this. I would then look up the organization. Don't necessarily take their word for it. Go to a third party neutral platform. It's essentially, what, you know, Charity Navigator is a free service. So we're not charging you to come and look up a charity. You can take the name of the organization that you got in the mail, plug in their name in our search, and we'll give you information on it based on our ratings. And our ratings are looking at four key areas. One, we want to know that they have a strength of leadership and accountability or adaptability. We look at their finances and accountability practices. We get this data from their tax forms. We also look at something that we're calling culture and community, which is how they engage with the people they serve, how they also treat their people internally, so more equity practices within the organization. And then finally, when we're able to do it, we're going to actually tell you what the cost per outcome they are able to produce and how effective that is. And so that's a lot of additional information that you're definitely not going to get in a postcard mailing or even a lengthier mailing. And it's coming through sort of a neutral third party, because that's really our role, is to not put our own biases into the situation, but we're treating organizations fairly and equitably in how we're trying to come up with an assessment.
I want to talk about the last thing you said there, the cost per outcome, because we often hear about charity overhead and that formula, the costs of running the operation versus the money, you know, coming in to help the organization or you know, its mission. Are overhead costs a guide for charitable giving? How do you think about them?
I think there's been a tremendous evolution in how, I would say, the industry or the sector thinks about overhead. We used to say you want to have really, really low overheads and eliminate all overhead costs, and every dollar should go into the primary program. The problem with that is it's a little bit, it's short-term thinking in many regards, because these are professional organizations paying staff. And if you cut back the overhead so much, you essentially starve the organization. Mm. Radically out of alignment overhead. So if you have an organization where 20% of their money goes to the program and 80% goes to fundraising and administrative costs, I'd walk away, right? That's not a good ratio. But cost per outcome is a different way of looking at the situation. You're saying, I have an intervention like cataract surgery, and that I know it's going to cost on average, you know, but there's good literature that cataract surgery is a great way of preventing blindness in developed and undeveloped countries. It's something that, you know, people with less means often can't afford it. So helping someone get cataract surgery is a way of preserving eyesight. So we see the sort of the end goal is preserving eyesight. You then you do some average costing of, well, organization A can save, you know, do cataract surgery for, you know, let's say $100 per patient. I'm making up these numbers.
Sure, sure.
And organization B is doing it for $150 per person. Well, then organization A is more efficient in that case. We agree, we're factoring out all other possible differences. We're saying that the interventions are good, and we have proof of that based on, you know, the research we've done in the organizations. And then efficiency makes sense in that case, because, you know, your $100 is actually enough to preserve one person's eyesight, whereas it's not quite enough with organization B. So that's where it's a different way of looking at efficiencies, but I think it's important.
We're talking about how to make sure your charitable donations are well spent. Michael Thatcher is here, who leads Charity Navigator. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Michael, something I'm curious about, because you expanded your rating system to include DEI commitments from these charities. And, you know, it might be early as you work with evaluating this kind of data, but what are you learning there about charities and diversity, equity, inclusion goals and values?
So I think what we're learning right now is that sort of the DEI, it's a journey. And so some organizations, that's almost their identity. Right. That is they're working on equity as their primary focus. Mm-hmm. And other organizations are, let's stay with cataract surgery. Right. That isn't necessarily focused on changing social norms. It's focused on preserving eyesight. But there is an equity. There's a diversity equity practice. Are they paying fairly within the different demographics of the organization themselves? How are they posting job advertisements? Are, you know, salaries listed? Are the how and what, you know, going back to your initial question, what are we seeing? We're seeing we've got roughly 30,000 organizations that have provided input on these set of questions. There are 14 equity practices that are collected by GuideStar by Candid. So they are a partner organization of ours. And we're then scoring that and giving extra points for people that are exhibiting more than three practices. There's tremendous room for growth, both in the number of charities that actually report this information. And then within that, of the 14, I would say statistically, there's the majority are only less than, it's about five, between three and five. Mm-hmm. So there's, We have a lot of room to grow in this area.
Okay. Kevin in Richland Center with a question. Kevin, hi, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I have two points. Take one or both of them if you have the time. One of them is you mentioned you want to ensure that your organization is a nonprofit. And I'm not really sure the legal definition between a profit or a nonprofit organization, but I do notice that one of your features is to reveal the salaries of some key personnel. And in some of these charities, the CEOs are making well into the six figures, close to $1 million. So that kind of begs the question as far as how well our dollars are being spent. And the other question that I had is, I'm curious if the charities that are rated have to pay a fee to you to rate them, because I did check a charity and didn't find it. And it's a pretty well-known large charity. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Kevin, great questions. Thank you. Michael, go ahead.
Sure. Great questions. And I'll start with the question about, is it a charity? So there are different types of charitable organizations within the U.S. tax code. The ones that we have ratings on and the ones that you can actually get a tax break with your gift are what we call 501c3 organizations. You also have 501c4 organizations, which are more the lobbying entities. And where it can get confusing is that there are a number of charities that have both a C3 and a C4, because one of the aspects of being a C3 charity is that you're not allowed to engage in the political process. You can advocate for your organization, but you can't advocate for a political party or individual. And so that's where that can get a little bit confusing. With regard to CEO salary, that's a data point that is all charities must report. It's on their tax forms, and those are public documents. And so we do surface that information. What we've found is that we haven't found a way of actually saying this makes the charity more or less effective. What we're beginning to look at, and there's actually some really interesting data here, though it's harder for us to get both. What you want to know is the range between highest paid individual and lowest paid individual with an organization. And sometimes that can be like a 16 times number. That seems a bit outlandish. What we're trying to do is show you why this is important, and then we'll include it in the rating. We haven't been able to ascertain that with CEO salary, but we list it because for many donors, that's a trigger point. And there's a feeling of, I actually don't want to be giving to an organization that's paying their executive that much money.
That final question there, do these nonprofits pay a fee to be rated by you?
Oh, great. I'm sorry. I missed that. I should have hit that one right away.
No, that's
okay. No, we're a 20-year-old organization, and our founding principle is never charge the charity, never charge the donor. So we stick by that. We've changed a lot over 20 years, but we don't want to. That could potentially bring in some kind of a bias or a favoritism. And we want to keep it as pure as we can. So no, we won't be charging any charities.
Charity Navigator CEO Michael Thatcher, our guide to evaluating a charity's effectiveness and reliability. Join in with your questions about donating to charities or how you approach personal philanthropy, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss how to make informed donations to charities, how to evaluate your donation to a nonprofit, and what to watch out for with scams. Join in on what you think about what you check before you make a charitable contribution, 800-642-1234. Michael Thatcher is CEO of the organization Charity Navigator and stays with us. Michael, let's focus now on 990s. Nonprofits required to fill out 990 tax forms with the IRS. What information is in these forms?
There's a ton of information within the 990, but you have all of the basic, you know, where's the office, number of employees, where they spend their money. The IRS asks charities to separate out how much money goes to program, how much money goes to administrative costs, and how much money goes to fundraising. You also have quite a few what we call accountability and transparency metrics in there. So do you have a whistleblower policy? Do you have a privacy policy? Is there a compensation process or evaluation for the CEO compensation? You also list in the 990 what your mission is, what you do to achieve that mission, There's the basic form, and then there are a bunch of additional schedules that get added depending on the nature of the organization. You could be, for example, private foundations file 990s, working charities, C3s file 990s, and the other split is depending on the size of the organization, and size as measured by number of dollars that you bring in on an annual basis, you're going to be filing a slightly different form. So tiny organizations that are under $50,000 in annual revenue are generally filing what's called a 990PF, which is, it's like a postcard. It's basically saying, I'm still here.
I'm still active.
Yes, still active, still alive. You've got to file it every year. Otherwise, you get pulled out of the database. Once you're over 200,000, you're filing the full form. And then and depending on the nature of your business, you'll fill out different schedules.
Do you think, is it worthwhile for a donor to check out the 990 form before donating?
Well, yes and no, in the sense that it depends on how much you want to get involved in the organization and what they're doing. What Charity Navigator tries to do is make that, we pull out sort of the basic information and put it into a common and easier to read, or let's say more humanly readable format.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do is I would look first at a platform like Charity Navigator, and then if you have additional questions, generally, one of the metrics that we request of charities is that they post their 990 on their website. It's a public document. It should be easily available. And so, you know, come check us out, see what you see in terms of our rating. Does it give you enough information to make your choice? If so, proceed. If you need more, then go to their website, pull down their 990 and read through it. I would advise folks, maybe, you know, once or twice, take a look at the form, and you'll realize why a platform like Charity Navigator is really helpful, because it's a pain. It's like, well, we all file a 1040, right? And it's similar looking document. It's not made for afternoon reading, let's say.
Well, I want to run scams by you, because we see the news stories and law enforcement, they bring attention to charity scams. How common how common is it for nonprofits to run scams or to commit fraud?
So you gave the Urban Institute's number of about, what is it, 1.8 million right
yes,
now.
Yes, indeed.
Part of what Charity Navigator does is also alert prospective donors to possible scams. And we have an advisory system with low, medium, and high level alerts. And on average, we've got about 400 alerts running, and that's across the rated and unrated universe. So that's a low number. Now, the other thing that I've observed over time is that most scams aren't being run by charities. They're being run by scammers, right? These are crooks that they're out to steal your money. They're not going to waste their time and get legal IRS status for the most part. That will occasionally happen, but they'll tend to be pop-up scams that happen at a time of crisis. So something unfortunate happens in the world, any part of the world, and there'll be a huge outpouring of giving, because people, we care about each other, and we naturally do that. The problem with that is that if you, that's particularly where people are vulnerable, because you don't necessarily, for example, the war in Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
most Americans weren't really, wouldn't have known where to give to Ukraine refugees 12 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a multitude of organizations that are doing work there. There are also scams with regard to the relief effort for the Ukrainians. That's I think where, or again, this is where I think Charity Navigator really can add value, because we're going to help you find legitimate organizations that are engaged in that, and you can avoid the scam that way.
Talking with I'm sorry, I just want to reintroduce you here for a moment. Michael Thatcher, the CEO of Charity Navigators. We talk about charitable giving and what to know about nonprofits. I want to squeeze this in because I know we're slightly running short on time here. If I make an online donation, how do I make sure the charity's website is secure and that my personal privacy is protected?
That is a really good question, and the hard that's hard for me to answer as charity per charity. What I can provide you with is a potential alternative, and that is Charity Navigator has a giving basket. We don't charge for it. It just we you can run the transaction through our giving basket. The other thing that's a nice safety about our giving basket is that we won't let you give to a fake charity. So the just look for the giving basket on, that you find the organization you want to support, you find them, and in there'll be a donate button. And our donations are secure. We're working with GiveLively that provides the processing, the back end processing. So we don't process the credit card information ourselves, and it goes directly to the organization that you've chosen.
And in our last moments together, if a cause is really important to you, and let's say you've been giving to the cause for years now, what are ways that you can make sure your ongoing donations are actually making a difference?
One of the best ways to really, if you believe in a charity and you've supported them for a number of years, is build a relationship. Don't not just a monetary one, but go volunteer, get to know someone in the organization. And the other thing that I think is a way of this is something that the charities will appreciate, consider signing up for a recurring gift. And that would mean rather than making a one lump sum amount at a different, let's say this time of year, sign up for regular withdrawals, monthly withdrawals from your credit card at a lower amount, but within your annual budget. And that'll make them happy. And it'll also you'll be increasing your engagement through systematic donations to them.
Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks, Kate.
Michael Thatcher is president and CEO of Charity Navigator, rating charities and nonprofits to determine how effective they are. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.